me all the time. You better think I lose my mind, 'cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright. Alright. Time for Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show, live on CITR 101.9 FM, a wonderful radio station here at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. And, of course, this is broadcast all over the place, online. And the Extra Special Show blog has lots of fun and interesting links for you, podcast links. If you go to Google and type in OZSTRANDED, you can catch the full rundown of the show each week with a little summary from myself, a set list, video clip, and the podcast link. OzStranded, type that into Google. Thanks so much to the news team for producing cutting edge and very thoughtful analysis and commentary. Very important, more so than ever. So, big show ahead. My very favourite person in the world to interview, Steve Kilby. Yes, he's back. I have another interview, two-part series with Steve, which I'll start broadcasting this week. The second part will be next week, because it's always great chatting with Steve. He gets talking, and there's just so much to talk about from all of his years and adventures in the music world. But this week, Isidore album, his side project, has been added to the playlist here at the station. So I actually have a physical copy in my hand of Life Somewhere Else from Isidore, which is his project with his compatriot in England, in America, called Jeffrey Kane. So we're going to play some tracks from the first Isidore album, as well as this new one. And we're going to be asking Steve all sorts of questions, so tune in later in the show. But for now, let's get into the older music. Scratch Records put on a great record store day here in Vancouver. I went along, said hi to Zach and Keith and all the great folks down there, and picked up a great CD, the Powder Monkeys. This is a real missing link in the Australian rock and roll underground, a band that really should be far more well known than they are. So they sort of formed from members of the band Bored. Bored was a seminal band from Victoria that was around in the late 80s. Powder Monkeys sort of sprang from that, and they just made an extraordinary name for themselves with like very high energy rock and roll and great live shows both in Australia and I think in Europe. I'm going to play for you a full live set. It's five tracks off an EP called Straight Until Morning. This came out in February 1995, and this was recording for Triple J for a live broadcast on the Australian publicly funded youth radio network, Triple J, which is such an amazing resource. I grew up listening to it, and it's informed my taste, I suppose. So the Powder Monkeys, yeah, I heard a few tracks of theirs way back, but hadn't had a chance to really dig into them much. But all songs are written by Tim Hemsley. He was the bassist, vocalist, and a real rock and roll purist. So let's get into it. It's some straight ahead rock and roll here for you from Australia from 1995. This is the Powder Monkeys live. And of course, later on in the show, we have Steve Kilby talking about all things Isidore and other things.
Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Pointed Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is CITR, and you're listening to live the Powder Monkeys from 1995. This is some Australian rock and roll for you.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
This is CITR 101.9 FM. My name's Matt, and I'm the host of Strand at the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And we just heard three tracks there from the Powder Monkeys. This is a live EP from 1995. It's called Straight Until Morning. So you heard the track Straight Until Morning, Got to Push the World Away, and I Thank You. Very powerful rock and roll band that didn't really get their due, but their name is still spoken of in very high regard due to the strength of their live shows particularly. And Tim Hemsley was the main songwriter, driving force in the band. And unfortunately, like has happened in rock and roll, from time to time, heroin dealt the band a blow, and Tim Hemsley died from an overdose on the 21st of July 2003. And it was a devastating blow to the Melbourne rock scene at the time. If you like what you hear, there's the final recordings were compiled on a CD called Out of Control Rock and Roll. You can find on the Dropkick label that came out in 2005. So I'm sure you can find that out in the world. So two more tracks from this live EP. This next one's my favourite of theirs. It's called Persecution Blues. This is a really, really strong rock and roll song. And then one track after that called I Stand Bare. So this is the Powder Monkeys, just going back to 1995. Some live music. This was recorded in the Triple J Radio Studios, 1995. Powder Monkeys.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
So regular listeners to the show will, of course, be aware that I'm a huge fan of The Church, a great band from Sydney, Australia. I managed to meet the band in person down in Seattle last year on their great tour they did, where they featured three complete albums in their entirety. And I've maintained contact with The Church. I've interviewed various members of the band, and I'm really thankful for that, because they have such rich knowledge of rock and roll history through what they've lived through, and through their own insatiable appetite for music. Marty Wilson Piper, of course, he runs his own music archive. You can just imagine the incredible knowledge. So whenever I get a chance to chat with members of the band, I'm very thankful, and it's great to get all this down in podcast. So Steve Kilby was on the phone yesterday, and I had a chat with him from his home in Bondi. And I wanted to touch base with him about Isidor, which is his side project. Thankfully, the brand new Isidor album, Life Somewhere Else, has been added to the playlist here in the station. So thanks so much, Sarah, for doing that. Very fine taste you have there. So Isidor is a fascinating project. It is Steve Kilby with Jeffrey Kane. So Jeffrey Kane is from an American band called Remy Zero. And it's such an interesting story about how this side project came about. Jeffrey Kane was a big Church fan, very aware of Steve Kilby, and he was writing some instrumental music. And he got around to thinking, well, this track, there's only one person in the world who could possibly sing on this track to do it justice, and that is Steve Kilby. And he put himself out there, and he knew that Steve was passing through town, and he actually went to the hotel where Steve was staying and gave the CD with a little explanatory note to the front desk. Steve picked it up, played it in his hotel, and literally contacted him straight away and said, "Jeffrey, this is really great. I think you're right. I think this is perfect for my vocals." And one thing led to another, and an album came out under the name Isidore. That's Isidore. And it came out in 2004. So I've actually been going back in time and listening to this. I only really discovered it recently. So I've been listening to the first album a lot at home, and I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks now, and then we're going to get into my chat with Steve Kilby. This is a really great talk. I'm going to break it up over 2 weeks. Today I asked him about Isidore, about the project, and also about his exploration of Bhakti Yoga. It was a very, very illuminating chat there. So let's get into it. This is the first Isidore album. The new one has just come out, so there was a 7-year gap. This came out in 2004. It is the original Isidore album, self-titled. I'm going to play for you tracks. Let's see, maybe track 1 and 3. I very much love track 3, Sanskrit. Okay, here we go. This is Isidore featuring Steve Kilby on vocals.
Thank you.
Of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you sweet deals on the West Side and UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, Displaced Hasheries, The Eatery, Fresh is the Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Illusion Studio and Spa, Kerner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
And we're back on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Matt and this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And a very special feature here on Isidore, the side project from Steve Kilby, where he teamed up with American Jeffrey Kane of the band Remy Zero. So those were two tracks off the debut Isidore album that came out in 2004. You heard Musidora, track one, and the sublime Sanskrit there, track three. It's such a hypnotic track, a beautiful melody. This is you'll really notice this is very nuanced atmospheric music. And it's wonderful to hear that a new album has come out after a 7-year hiatus. And I'm going to play you some tracks for the new album, but now let's get into the chat I had with Steve Kilby. It's always wonderful to speak with him. He called through from his residence in Bondi just before dropping his kids off to school. So let's hear part one. I just asked him just kind of a random question to start with about a fretless bass, because I saw an old photo of him with a fretless bass. He is a bass player, of course, frontman of the Church, Steve Kilby. That's his instrument of choice. And then we'll get into asking him questions about Isidore. First up, this is totally from left field, but I was just flipping through your bio on the bus on the way down, and I saw an old photo of you holding a fretless bass. And I'm wondering, what are the advantages of playing a fretless bass, and is that something you pick up every now and then, or was it just for a short period?
Actually, it never occurred to me to play a fretless bass, and when we formed the Church, there was a friend of our then drummer who played fretless bass, and the then drummer was always needling me about, oh, so-and-so can play fretless bass and you can't. So one day I just went and bought a fretless bass, and then I played it on stage and played it on records. But it was really a stupid thing to do for a singer because I didn't have the... I must have been... I was probably always slightly out of tune because I couldn't really... You know, you sort of... I think singers need fretted basses. But the advantage of a fretless bass is all kinds of advantages. You can sort of do all that zooming and plunging down and all that kind of... It makes a completely different sound, but... It was really an inappropriate bass for me to play. And then later on, when I went through my hard and troubled times, I hocked and lost my fretless bass. And now I don't play fretless bass, but if someone gave me a fretless bass or if I had one, I would certainly get it out for sort of probably, I would say, for like one-fifth of the songs I record. I would think fretless bass would be nice, but I don't like it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, cool, thanks. Yeah, I was just curious about that. And then, good news here. The Isidore record has been added to the playlist here on the station, which is awesome, so I've played
Hooray!
It.
Hooray!
I'm going to plug it.
It's Isidore.
Oh, very sad.
Isidore, yes.
Well, what is the origin of that word?
What's that?
What is the actual linguistic origin of that word?
That's Isidore. Jeffrey Cain's word. There was a Saint Isidore... And there was also a famous poet who wrote under the name of Lord Tremont in France, and he wrote this very dark, nasty poems, but his real name turned out to be Isidore Ducasse, and then he wrote a book of good poems under that name. But Geoffrey thought up the name, I'm not sure which one he's going for, or a mixture of both.
Right. And we are, listeners, we're talking about Geoffrey Cain, who is the other part of the duo here, Isidore. Now, it's quite a very remarkable story about how you guys got together to collaborate. I imagine over the years a number of people have approached you with their instrumental tracks, and Steve, can you play on this?
Yeah.
But why him in particular? It sounded like you really, immediately you were grabbed.
Well, he was the first one when it sort of started to happen, when this idea that suddenly it was very easy to give someone an instrumental track. Because up until then, like if you met someone in 1985 and said, hey, I've written an instrumental track for you to sing on, that was a very complicated process. You'd have to send them a 24-track cap, you know what I mean? It'd be like you'd have to send them something that was expensive and hard to come by in itself, a 24-track tape.
Yeah.
And then they would have to book a studio and to even listen to it and then go in and work on it and then send it back. It would be an enormous hassle that I don't think happened very often.
Ah.
I don't think people exchanged tapes in the post. Because a 24-track tape was about $250-$300 just to buy one.
Yeah.
And he needed the machine and all that. So it was at the very dawn of this era that people were starting to kind of do this easily.
Yeah.
And Geoffrey gave it to our sound man, and said, I've written this piece of music on a cassette or something, or whatever I first heard it off. And that was on a CD. It was burnt onto a CD. And I went back to my room and played it, and it was really, it demanded my attention. It was like, as soon as I heard it, I realised, I knew. He said, "I've written it for you, and if no one and if you won't sing on it, then no one will ever sing on it."
Wow!
And I could see why he felt that. And it's a lot different to people who, over the years, have sent me tracks and go, "Could you sing on this?" And I've always thought, "Well, I could," but there's no. It's not really demanding that I do. So every now and then, a guy sent me one a couple of weeks ago, and he was. He sent me a track and said, have a listen to this. And he said, I think you should sing on it. And when I listened to it, I could see why he thought that. And I did sing on it. But other people sometimes send me kind of lukewarm instrumentals and things that really don't have much to do with me. And then I don't sing on them. But if somebody sings me something that's just fucking right, you can be sure I will actually sing on it.
Certainly.
See me with your antenna.
In terms of the lyrics that were produced for this, was it a shift in what would normally come out with the church?
For Isidore.
I mean,
well, you know, I'd never change what I would write. So if someone would come up, if Jeffrey came up with a piece of music, or if the church came up with a piece of music, or some new unknown person came up with a piece of music and gave it to me, I would write the lyrics that were appropriate to that song, no matter what the name of the project was. So it's kind of turned out that a lot of the lyrics I did write for Jeffrey were different, but it wasn't a conscious change. I wasn't sitting there going, oh, no, that's too much like the church or something. It was just, I guess, just working with him and the kind of music he was writing dictated sort of trickier. I became a lot trickier than I think with Jeffrey. And I think the second album too is kind of got some more tricky lyrics than I do an albums over here with a guy called Martin Kennedy who gives me instrumental music. But that's very simple music. It's not like Jeffrey's. It's not so busy and doing unusual things.
Very nuanced.
And I tend to find that makes more straightforward kind of lyrics. Where Jeffrey's music, which is very busy and often kind of slightly nebulous for me, when I first hear it, I can't sort of pick the patterns in it. And that makes me kind of write and come up with different kinds of lyrics and something where I can hear what them, at the first time, obviously, what the music's doing, something very simple.
Sure. And I know it was like a sort of a 7-year layover between, obviously, because of different lives and projects. And has it ever been a touring proposition, or is it something that you could play live? Or?
Well, Jeffrey's... strangely enough, I got up this morning, Jeffrey's written to me, please Skype me. So who knows? Maybe he's got something on the boil.
Yeah.
I think it could be a touring proposition. I'm not sure how it would be. I could certainly do the singing, but I don't know how he's going to be doing all those layers. Apparently, you know, he's got on tracks where there's lots of little things ticking over all the time. I don't know how it would be. So no, we've never tried to actually play it live.
Yeah. And of course, he's based in the States, right?
Down in Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. Great, and well, who knows what he's going to be asking you? Maybe part three. Has that been spoken about at all?
I think it'd be a little too early for that. I think he's saying something about doing some gigs, or I don't know. Maybe he's just saying, "Do you want me to send you another box of CDs?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll soon find out. I'm sure there will be some more Isidore.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'll definitely be playing a lot of the album here. And we've got the first album too. I've been playing that at home a lot. So they've got that in the library. So I'll do a full set.
That was like an album that kind of went missing at the time. It didn't sort of get reviewed or played or anything very much. It's a bit of a shame, yeah.
It is.
It still sounds good today.
Oh, really? It's like, I mean, it's the first time I've heard it just in the last week, because, yeah, I mean, I guess I've...
It escaped you heard me the second one first?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, how strange.
Yeah.
When the sun has left the sky, when the day plummets, find you in the muted glare. When did you notice this? Solid gold shine in the Father's mind. Creator, maintainer, destroyer, or lawyer. They find you in your bit of fluff, who looks like a faded Goya. She only comes for the consolation, striding like a hat with comfort inside, spreading through the population. Oh my God, baby, I'm so fucking tired.
these days of Gomorrah are tribulation. Buckled to the ground, stagger neath the weight. Silence like a lamb in transmigration. When the moon has left the night, when the light shatters your eyes, I see you through the membrane wall. I'll wait for you to rise. Tiny pieces fade in front of your face. Tiny black hole instead of a soul. I see you cross the crowded room where solid lines just fold.
From Mold, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And we're back on CITR 101.9 FM and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Don't forget, you can find podcasts of the show by going to Google and typing in OZSTRANDED, Oz Stranded. And over 100 podcasts are online. Lots of interviews, including previous interviews with Steve Kilby and other members of the church. You can just go to the search bar and type in whatever you like and see if it comes up. This is, of course, another chat with Steve. Talking about the Isidore project. This is a side project of his with Jeffrey Kane from the American band Remy Zero. So I'll play for you two more tracks there from the first album that came out in 2004. You heard track 7, Ghosting, and track 8, Transmigration. And I've sure been enjoying learning about this, listening to this album a lot at home this week. And there is a new album out, of course, and it's called Life Somewhere Else. And I'll be getting to tracks from that right after this next segment of my interview with Steve Kilby. And part two will be next week because, of course, Steve has so much to say and it's great chatting with him. Now, if anyone's been listening for a while to this show, the first time I chatted with Steve, I asked him a little bit, just briefly, about his yogic practice. Steve has been doing yoga asanas for some time. Keeps him fit and in fine form when he's on stage, still doing great work with the church. But yoga, of course, is a multifaceted spiritual path, and bhakti yoga is very much part of the yogic tradition, and it's devotional. It means fostering love and utter faith and surrender to God as a means to realize God. And what I picked up in a lot of Steve's lyrics and some of his poetry online is a very devotional aspect. And of course, track 3 from the album Isidore that I played for you was called Sanskrit, and there's been other sort of references to yogic principles throughout his song. So I've always wanted to ask him a bit more about where that comes from. What are the influences from India and the spiritual tradition of yoga that might be seeping through into his artistic work? So you're going to hear now a candid answer to that question. Steve really is very open here in the next section of the interview, talking about yoga, bhakti in particular, and his own emotional commitment to that path, and how it helped him in a quite a difficult time in his life. So this is Steve Kilby of The Church and the side project Isidore. I've been waiting to chat with you again for the longest time, to talk again a little bit more about yoga, because, well, the song Sanskrit that came up on the third track, I was like, wow, here we go, here's another reference. And there's, even on the new album, the Headlight Child record song has a lyrical reference to the Hindu Kush. And of course, your poetry seems so devotional, what you put up on your blog. I'm wondering about your own explorations into bhakti yoga in particular, you know, the yoga of devotion and...
Let me say, a strange thing happened. I got into some hard drugs and back in the 90s, and I was in my house, living in my house on my own, and a lot of people had come and gone through my house over the years, and I had a library in one room. And people had added to, and I presume taken away from the library. And I was in my house, and I was very lonely and kind of miserable and isolated. And I was looking in my library one day, and I started finding all this literature about Krishna, written by Bhakti Vedanta, who brought the Hare Krishna movement. And I sort of, I devoured all the books, and I then moved on to I read the Bhagavad Gita, and then I read the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was this 20-volume set. And since those days, I've been very much sort of always in or never far from the idea of bhakti yoga. So I understand. And just recently, I've been observing it in my children, three teenage girls here, who have gotten into this boy band called One Direction, who show all the signs of bhakti yoga, sort of swooning, crying, one-pointed obsession about their gods, and except there's no religion at the end of it. It's just a sort of a pop phenomenon, but it's all the same kind of thing.
It's emotion. Yeah, that's right.
Why are you into bhakti yoga? Are you?
Well, yeah, just here in Vancouver, I mean, it's quite a hotbed. I mean, there are big kirtans that are held. I mean, I have a teacher here of the yoga philosophy. I just last night went to a kirtan. So there's a movement here, and I often wondered about Australia. It's probably a bit more under the radar there.
Well. It came in the 1960s and was big for a while in the 1970s. They've still got a really nice, restaurant where we should go one night, Sam, in North Sydney. A really nice restaurant here, and they've still got a shop. But I'd say it's pretty much it. I mean, at one stage it threatened to become a real thing, but I think now it's pretty quiet. I think that it's too much. These materialistic days. But bhakti yoga is an amazing thing, and the principles of it, I mean, I couldn't say I'm really practicing it now. I'm not going to any kirtans or I'm not chanting, but I've certainly got pictures of Krishna up in my room, and I think about you know, and I write about Vishnu, and I've got Buddha, who is the, as you know, may or may not be the eighth incarnation of Vishnu, sitting outside in my, and you know, so it's kind of there, but it's sort of a bit in the background.
Yeah, definitely. I often see references on the Time Being website. Yeah, it's great to read.
Yeah. So you're actively involved in the movement, are you?
I guess. I mean, I have a close relationship with a very good teacher here, one of the best in North America. It's just culturally here in Vancouver, it seems to be the right place for it to be coming out and circulating. Yoga.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. I was in rehab in America in 1994, and I was coming off a really big drug habit, and I was, to say I was sick and demoralized and in the worst possible shape that a man could be in. I hadn't slept, and I was anxious, and one night, and I was sharing a room with a bass player from a group called the Pornos for Pyros.
Oh, yeah, Perry Farrell.
Yeah, I was in a room with him. And he left the room for a while, and I was lying on my bed, and I was so wretched, I was so miserable and ill, and I'd been, some friends of mine had come in, and I'd been reading all this Bhakti Vedanta stuff, and I actually got down on my knees and prayed and said that they say you don't give people more than they can handle, and I said, well, I can't handle this anymore, and immediately... bang, there it was, that thing I'd always wanted, and it was there, and there was no mistake, and it was stronger than reality, and it picked me right up off the floor, put me back in bed, and I lay down, and I slept for half an hour, and I hadn't slept for 3 weeks at this stage, so that was a great blessing, to sleep for half an hour, and in my little dream that I had, during sleeping, in lucid dream, I was walking with Krishna, and it was just like they say it was, in some beautiful paradise.
Wow.
And I was walking along and strolling, and he was talking to me, and it was just like it was. And then after I woke up, I started walking up and down the corridors of the Exodus Rehab Center, the one that Kurt Cobain escaped from.
Wow.
And I was walking up and down there, and they were so suspicious of me, they grabbed me and piss-tested me and said, okay, what do you want? Because half an hour before, I was lying there vomiting and couldn't move. So it really worked. But you know what? Because I humbly and desperately cried out with not one ounce of intellect, not one ounce of anything, oh, let's see what you can do, but with a complete, just like a baby screaming for its mother, a baby screaming for its mother in desperation, this, it answered, the force answered, but as I walked around this rehab feeling smug and clever and like, wow, I've really got God now, started thinking about and intellectualizing it, the feeling began to kind of run away. So that was the problem. Getting it, one thing, keeping it is another.
Yeah.
And even though for months and months after that, I walked around chanting and singing My Sweet Lord by George Harrison and anything, reading about Krishna. I was even went to Sweden, where I was living at the time, and I was in fields full of cows singing Hare Krishna, and they were all following me around.
Wow.
And I never got another... and making farmers angry. They were angry that I was singing to their cows that they were about to slaughter. Can you believe that? Anyway, I never got it again, never came back, but I never, ever manifested that level of need again.
Yeah.
And I believe if you really need it and you really want it and you one-pointedly cry out for it, you will get it, but...
Yeah,
but if it's any one little bit of you going, ooh, Krishna's going to come into my mind or something, it ain't going to fucking happen.
Yeah, being attached to some specific outcome, because, that's right. Well, thanks so much for sharing that, Steve. It's wonderful to hear that.
Life somewhere else imposed by will. I should have known from the start.
running and jumping and standing still, watching it all fall apart. A lonesome night, besieged by my dad. A lonesome day in the crowd. Alone at my birth as they pulled me out. Alone in my death, alone in the shroud. Life is sweet, but life somewhere else. Baby, I need you. Baby, I'm gone. Baby, don't think I can wait. Love will find you if you can hold on. Now 5, 6, 7. Life is complete. It'll sweep you back on your feet. Life is sweet, but life somewhere else. Why is it like this? It's all for myself. Why, what can you do? Life somewhere else. Life somewhere else in a garden or room. Life somewhere else in a box. Life somewhere else in a song or fortune. Life somewhere else. 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 Life somewhere else.
Wrong. And I wouldn't that blindness is so mean and unkind. And it's kind of strange just how quickly you change. It's dangerous and it's lethally alive.
Will be twirling its tassels for the seventh year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in 3 nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.
Scratch Records, CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine present the Sims Cake Release Party, with guests Winter Mitz and Be Off, Friday, May 11th, at the Interurban Gallery. There will be an actual Sims Cake to eat. It isn't just for robots. Advance tickets from Red Cat, Scratch, or Zulu. Time to get down and boogie with Sims Cake, May 11th, at the Interurban Gallery.
Scratch
Respect Records, CITR, and Discord Magazine are proud to present the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party. With special guests, Shearing Pinks, and the Aaron Reed Band, it promises to be a night full of beer, booze, bands, and butts. For one night only, the Landmark 12-inch LP special release will be only $5. But last, and definitely not least, you won't want to miss the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party, Saturday, May 12th at the Interurban Gallery.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
This May in Discorder, sit down for a chat with local thrash punk sensations, New Sensei. Get well acquainted with Peace before their new album drops. Find out if Weed the Band is better than The Substance. And discover the response from members of Prestronaut on the controversy surrounding bands and crowdsource funding. As always in Discorder, get your healthy dose of Venue News, Filmstrip, take a look at our beautiful calendar, browse the always-changing CITR program guide, tuck up bits of Mark DeLong's art project on your bedroom walls, take in some reviews of music both recorded and live, and all the other goodies you know and love. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, support